Good morning to you all. We have an attitude about races, about winning and losing, that is taught to us almost from birth. We compete in school, we watch college and professional sports, we're bombarded in the media with ideas about winning and losing and being the best. One of the competitors we've heard about for several years now is a gentleman named Lance Armstrong, who's a competitive cyclist. He entered our consciousness not only because of his sports accomplishments, but because of his battle and victory over cancer. When he competes in a race called the Tour de France, there's a system that they use so that all the cyclists know who the leader is every day. Each morning, the leader's given a yellow jersey to wear. Everyone knows who they need to catch, who they need to pass. And for the last few years, every day, it's been Lance Armstrong. In the Tour de France and other sports, there can only be one winner. That's what we've been taught. Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. In a competition, there's only one winner. But is that the way we should be looking at things? Are we in a competition to get into God's kingdom? And if we are, who are we competing against? I propose to you that the race metaphors used by Paul in several of his letters require a different interpretation. One clue to this comes from some of the most beautiful writing, I think, in the Bible, and that's in Ecclesiastes. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9, starting at verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times. They fall unexpectedly upon them. I've spoken before about paradigms. Paradigms are those assumptions that we make about things. Here the paradigm is that when we run a race, there will only be one winner. What if I told you that in this case, everyone who even enters the race can receive the reward at the end? Paul reinforces this idea and gives us another way to look at things in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He tells us to endure and not lose heart. He also tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the one wearing the yellow jersey. He is the one that is leading the race every day. He's the example we need to follow. So why do we need to change our paradigm about winning and losing? If our leader in the yellow jersey is our Lord and Savior, how can we possibly overtake him? We can't. What we can do is continue to run the race. We can also apply another metaphor to the process. And that metaphor is about training for a marathon. When you plan to run in a race like that, you have to train and train and train every day. You train so much that eventually you can't tell the difference between the training and the race. That's how we need to be. We need to train so much that we feel like we are running in the race all the time. Because we are. We're running in the race every day. How do we do this? How do we do our training? We do it by reading God's Word, by praying, by being with our brothers and sisters, and by trying to employ the principles taught to us by our Lord. Every day, in everything we do. If we can do this, what's the result? We find out in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We have to keep the faith and finish the race. And there is a crown of righteousness awaiting us. We don't have to win the race. We just have to finish. And why is this new paradigm so important to us? Because Jesus has already won the race. In a traditional race, that would mean no one else could win. No one else could obtain the crown of righteousness. Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead and ascended to sit at God's right hand. We are about to celebrate those events by sharing the bread and wine here today. But does that mean the race is over for us? It does not. Even though there's been a winner, there can be many more. Everyone who runs the race has the opportunity to stand before the judgment seat and be the subject of God's grace and mercy. He knows that we may falter or stumble during the race. That's expected. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 7. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. If we falter or stumble, we must do what we can to recover. And this goes back to the training that I was talking about earlier. We must use the principles we learn to try to get back on track. This is why it is so important to do our daily readings, to attend Bible classes, Sunday school, and memorial services. But this training also involves doing every day. How do we treat the people in our lives, at work, at school, at home? Are we really trying to do the right thing all day, every day? We know if we follow His guidance, we will be okay. This goes back to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 10. And this is talking about wisdom, the thing that we all need to strive for. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel it on it. Turn from it and go on your way. We all have to run in that race every day because we all know what is at the end of the race, the crown of righteousness.